Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Masjid Darus Salam, Toronto, Canada, Friday after 18th, Tarawih, 26th of July, 2013. Listening to the Quran has a great virtue like reciting the Quran. The Quran is the Kalam of Allah. Allah is hidden behind the Quran. The Bayan is presented by Mufti Ismail Kotwal Shahib Damat Barakatuhu.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillahi kafa wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Habibil Mustafa wa ala alihi wa ashabihi nujumil huda qala dittuqa amma ba'd. Qala Allahu azza wa jalla fil Qur'anil Majid wal Furqanil Hamid. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Shahru Ramadan alladhi unzila fihi al-Qur'an hudan lin-nasi wa bayyinatin minal huda wal furqan. Sadaqallahu al-'azim. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم تبرك بالقرآن فإنه كلام الله وخرج منه أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. Respected elders and brothers, I don't want to take too much of your time because I know everyone's tired from reciting Taraweeh. It's not easy to sit in Taraweeh for 1 hour, 1.5 hours, you know. But Alhamdulillah, we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the strength and gives us the capability to stand up in Taraweeh. Ask those elders, those old people who bichari Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not given them that taqat and has not given them that capability to stand up and perform Taraweeh. They cry that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even give them the tawfiq to perform one sajda. But their days are gone now. So we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the ability to stand up in front of Him in the month of Ramadan. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, مَنْ قَامَ رَمَضَانَ إِيمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. That whosoever stands in the nights of Ramadan, Imanan, with Iman, belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wahtisaban, and he has hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he has conviction in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward him in the akhirah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ, that all his past and future sins will be forgiven. غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. So this Taraweeh is also from the Qiyam of Ramadan, and we will also inshallah get this virtue. Now when we stand in the Taraweeh prayer, not only do we get the reward of performing Salah, but we also get the reward of listening to the Holy Qur'an. Respected elders and brothers, a lot of us have this misunderstanding that to get the reward of reciting Qur'an, you have to actually verbally recite it. This is a misunderstanding. The same way that reading the Holy Qur'an is an ibadah, is an act of worship, the same way, my dear respected elders and brothers, to listen to the Holy Qur'an is also an act of worship. To listen to the Holy Qur'an is also an act of worship. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to say to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Iqra, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, read to me, recite the Qur'an to me. Had Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala an replied, Alayka aqra wa alayka unzil. Should I recite to you? Hanaki, the Quran has been revealed upon you. How can I recite to you? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَحِبُّ أَنْ أَسْمَعَ مِنْ غَيْرِي. I wish that I listen to the Quran from somebody else. So Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an, he started reciting Surah An-Nisa, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا, and he recited until, فَكَيْفَ جِئْنَا مِنْ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ بِشَهِيدٍ وَجِئْنَا بِكَ عَلَى هَؤُلَاءِ شَهِيدًا. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, enough, enough. The tarjumah of the ayat is, the translation of the ayat is, what will be the state when we will bring a witness from every single ummah and we will bring you, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as a witness against your ummah. So the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them, enough, enough, enough. And when Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an lifted his head, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was crying. What is the reward of reciting the Quran? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, on every harf, on every single letter a person will recite, he will be rewarded with one reward. لا أقول ألف لام ميم حرف ولكن ألف حرف ولام حرف وميم حرف. ألف لام ميم is not one letter, but ألف is one letter that has its individual reward. Lam is one letter, you will get individual reward for the lam, and ميم is also an individual letter, you will receive an individual reward for that lam. Respected elders and brothers, the Quran is not only the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the Holy Quran is the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The books before the Quran, the Torah, the Injil, the Gospel, the Bible, they were the books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were revealed in a book format. But the Holy Quran is not a book that we read. The words are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These words, they come from inside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is a big, very big academic discussion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, along with all His qualities, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with all His qualities and all His sifat, is qadim. Qadim means that there is no beginning to Allah. The same way there is no beginning to Allah, the same way all the attributes and qualities and sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no beginning to them. The same way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no beginning, the same way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's qualities do not have a beginning. So the same way the Qur'an is a quality, it is a sifat, and it is an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the kalam of Allah does not also have a beginning. This is the aqidah and this is the belief of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. In the 2nd century, a deviant group came into existence called the Mu'tazila. Now these Mu'tazila, they would try and understand everything through the intellect, through ration, through reason, and anything that opposed their intellect, anything that was against ration, anything that was against reason, then they would completely reject it, even though it was proven to Quran, and even if it was proven through hadith. So this group of Mu'tazila, they said that the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the wording of the Holy Quran, is also a creation. It is a creation. Just like how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He created the sky, Allah created the mountains, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the earth, the same way Allah's words are also a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this deviant belief was completely against the Quran, it was completely against the hadith. But the people who held this belief, these people, they gained great position into they gained positions of authority, and they gained big posts in the government of that time, in the 2nd century. And whosoever would not believe in this belief of theirs, then they'll throw these people inside jail. Now in that time, during the reign of Ma'mun Rashid, who was a tyrant ruler at that time, he was the advocate of this belief, and he would force this belief upon every person living within his kingdom. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayh, who's one of the four great imams, he stood up for the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and he defended the belief of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, until Ma'mun Rashid called him into his quarters and he threw him inside jail. And every single day he would be whipped 34 times. For 4 years, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayh went under torture, went under punishment of Ma'mun Rashid. But even though then Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayh stood up for the truth, the people came to Ahmad and they said to Imam Ahmad, "The Imam, oh great Imam, why don't you surrender? At this time, you are going through such torture, you are going through such punishment, that at this time, even if you were to utter a word of disbelief, even though you were to utter a sentence of disbelief, it would be allowed for you to do so." Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahmatullahi alayhi, replies, "What about the hadith of Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala an, where he says that we will be slaughtered into two pieces, but we would not leave the kalma of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah." So my dear respected elders and brothers, what is so special about the Quran? The Quran is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it comes from inside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just as every single person's expression, every person's wish, every person's feelings is hidden behind his speech. If a person wants to express himself, if a person wants to, you know, bring out what he feels inside, then he has to speak. If he doesn't speak, then everything will stay hidden inside his heart. That's why Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala used to say, "Al-mar'u tahta lisanihi," that a person, he's under his tongue. If he doesn't speak up, then you don't know what he's hiding inside him. And this is a feature, and this is a quality that we must create inside ourselves. That if we hold anything regarding our Muslim brother, if we have anything against our Muslim brother, if someone done something to us, someone done something that we didn't like, we shouldn't stop speaking to that person, but we should open our mouths and we should clarify the issue with the person. Because if we don't open our mouths, if we don't express what is inside, then what happens? This increases enmity, and this creates enmity between us and our Muslim brothers. So we should speak up. Hazrat Aurangzeb Alamgir Rahmatullahi Alayhi. He was once the ruler of India. He was the Badshah of India, and he was a very pious and he was a very just ruler. He created a committee in India at that time of big ulama who collected all the fatawa and all the masail from different books of Hanafi fiqh, and he compiled a book called Fatawa Hindiya, Fatawa Alamgiriya, in 8 volumes. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward him for his efforts. It's a great book for the muftis. It makes it very easy for them to give fatwa. So Hazrat Alamgir Aurangzeb rahmatullahi alayhi, he had a daughter named Zaybun Nisa. And Zaybun Nisa was a poet. And in that time, in Iran, there was a very big poet as well. So that poet, one day, he was making a poem. And in that poem, he wrote, the poem was in Farsi. The wording goes something like, I don't know Farsi, but the poem goes something like this. Dure ablagh kase dida mawjood. And in that poem of his, he is praising a pearl. A white pearl. That how beautiful is that white pearl? And that white pearl is such that has, a black line that goes across that pearl that grants that pearl beauty. So he was making this poem, but he couldn't find a second line to rhyme with that poem. But he liked that first line so much that he wanted to complete that poem. So he made an announcement and he told the people of his kingdom that if anyone can make a second line to rhyme with that poem of mine, then I will grant him a big reward. So in India, Hazrat Alamgir Aurangzeb rahmatullahi alayhi, he had a daughter named Zaybun Nisa. So one day when Zaybun Nisa, she was showering, after she came out from the shower, she was applying surma in her eyes. Surma is also a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To put surma in the eyes is the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The men should do ihtimam of applying surma. But a man, when does he apply surma? In the night. Women apply surma during the day, but men apply surma during the night. And the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he would apply surma 3 times. Now the muhaddithin, they say there's a difference of opinion amongst the muhaddithin. Some muhaddithin, they say that the sunnah method is to apply 2 times in the right eye and 1 time in the left eye. But other fuqa and other ulama, they say that no, 3 times in the right eye and 3 times in the left eye. Inshallah, whatever you act upon, you'll fulfill the sunnah. So Zaybun Nisa, she was applying surma in her eyes. And when you apply surma, your eyes get very teary and sometimes, one or two teardrops come out. So when that teardrop came out, she seen the teardrop and immediately another couplet came out of her mouth. And she compared that teardrop that comes out from the surma with that moti and with that pearl. That the same way that beautiful white pearl with that black fine line in between, the same way that teardrop, that beautiful teardrop, clear teardrop with that, little mix of surma, how beautiful it is. And she came out with this couplet. So when that couplet reached that poet in Iran, that poet became very excited because it completely matched, it completely rhymed with that poem of his. And immediately he sent a group out to India and he said, bring that lady to me. Bring that woman to me. Whoever came out with this couplet, bring her to me. So when the news reached Alamgir Aurangzeb rahmatullahi alayh, he was troubled right away. Not like the woman of today, not like the father of today, that he would, right away he would jump at such an opportunity to give fame and to give popularity to my daughter. No. Immediately what was he worried about? The honor, the dignity, and the modesty of his daughter. That how can I send my chaste, how can I send my modest and my honorful daughter, how can I send her to the company of a strange man? So he expressed his feeling to his daughter and he said, how can you go over there? His daughter said, don't worry, because she was also a very pious servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She said, don't worry about it. I will write, some couplets and I will send it to the Irani poet. And if he is smart, if he is clever, inshallah he'll understand. What did she write? She said that I am hidden in my couplets. I am hidden in my words the same way the fragrance of a rose is hidden in his petals. If you want to see me, then read my writings, read my couplets, inshallah you will see me. So the same way, my dear respected elders and brothers, the same way that a person is hidden behind his words, a person is hidden behind his speech, the same way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is hidden behind his speech. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is hidden behind his kalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is hidden behind the Holy Quran. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, tabarrak bil Quran, that take blessings from the Holy Quran. فَإِنَّهُ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ. Verily, the Quran is the kalam of Allah. وَخَرَجَ مِنْهُ. And it has come out from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you want to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you want to understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then read the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Create an attachment to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The same way that that woman said, that if you want to see me, read my book, read my verses, read my couplets. The same way, if we want to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we must create an attachment with the book of Allah, with the Quran and the Kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear respected elders and brothers, what is every single one of our's main goal? What do we do worship for? What do we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for? We worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that in the hereafter, we may be able to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is our main goal. We don't worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Jannat. We don't worship Him so He can save us from Jahannam. Yes, it is allowed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He warns us through Jahannam and He encourages us to do good deeds for Jannat. But there is a level above that. There is a level beyond that of the pious friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they don't worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Jannat. They don't worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save themselves from Jahannam, but they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that in the hereafter they can be happy with Allah. Allah can be happy with them and they can do the deedar and they can see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Khaja Bakhtiyar Kaki rahmatullahi alayhi, he says so beautifully, na dunya dost mi daram, na uqbara kharidaram, mura cheeze nami bayad, bajuz didar ya Allah. I don't want Jahannam. I don't want Jannat. I have no friendship with this world. I have no friendship with Jannat. I don't want to save myself from Jahannam. All I want is to be with you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Rabia Basri rahmatullahi alayha, she used to say that what is this ibadah of, you know, workers? The same way that a worker, he works from 8 o'clock in the morning till 5 o'clock at night. Why? So that he can get his salary at the end of the month. Is that why we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way a servant, he worships his master so that he is saved from the master's punishment? Is that why we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No, we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that we can see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter. My dear spiritual elders and brothers, Jannah and all the bounties of Jannah is secondary. It's the side dish. The main course is, imagine if we go to somebody's house, we visit our friends, we visit our family, and our friend, he gives us all the hospitality we want. He makes good food for us. He cooks biryani for us. He cooks nihari for us. He gives us the best drink. He makes the best tea for us. When it's time to rest, he gives us the best bedding. You know, a nice silky, soft bedding. But he doesn't spend any time with us. He doesn't let us talk to him. So what is the use of the hospitality? Are you gonna call that person a good mehman nawaz? No. So the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is only granting us Jannah and all the blessings Jannah as a side dish. The main course is the deedar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear respected elder brothers, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the deedar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all His happiness on that day. So this Quran, my dear respected elders and brothers, is nur. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, قَدْ جَاءَكُم مِّنَ اللَّهِ نُورٌ وَكِتَابٌ مُّبِينٌ. This Quran has come out from Allah. Allahu nuru samawati wal ardh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the nur of the skies and the nur of the zameen. So the same Quran that comes out from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Quran is also a source of light. And that Quran is also a source of guidance. Our hearts is filled with darkness. Our hearts are filled with darkness. Our hearts are dead. If you want to create light in our hearts, then you have to attach yourselves to the Holy Quran. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Tabarrak bil Quran. Get blessings from the Quran. Read the Quran. فَإِنَّهُ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ. For verily, it is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَهُوَ خَرَجَ مِنْهُ. And has come out from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu tabaraka wa ta'ala an, he used to read the Quran frequently. He used to read the Quran frequently. And when he used to read the Quran, he used to say, هَذَا كَلَامُ رَبِّي. هَذَا كَلَامُ رَبِّي. هَذَا كَلَامُ رَبِّي. These are the words of my Lord. The same way, my dear respected elders and brothers, that when we read the words of our beloved, a girl that a person is in love with, someone's wife, someone a person has attachment with, when we read their letter, when we read their words, when we think about them, the same way that we get a sense of satisfaction in our heart, we get a sense of happiness in our heart. This should be our condition when we read the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we read the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should feel this satisfaction. Once a person came to this buzurg, And he said, I want to learn how to do Allah, Allah. I want to learn how to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way He should be remembered. But I cannot get this conviction and I cannot get this awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that Buzurg said to that person, that what is the most beloved thing to you? So that person used from the village, he said, you know, a big bhens. You know, a big bhens that gives a lot of milk, that is the most beloved thing to me. So that Buzurg said to him, okay, you know what you do? You go in that room and for as long as you can, close your eyes and think to yourself that you are a bhens. Okay? So after 3-4 days, that Buzurg, he goes and he goes to visit that person. So he knocks on the door, the person opens the door, he goes, what is it? He goes, come outside. So he comes up to the door and then he stops at the door. He says, come outside. He goes, I can't go outside. Why? He goes, my horns are blocking the door. So by working on himself for 3 days, after the contemplation and after exercising, he came to such a state where he considered himself a bhens. Why? Because he had love for bhens. His whole life he spent with this animal, with this buffalo. He spent the whole life with this buffalo and that's what he had love for. So it was easy for him to understand and imagine this. So my dear respected elders and brothers, if we have love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we create awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that muhabbat that we have and that ishq we have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is created in our hearts, then my dear respected elders and brothers, to create the awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also be easy for us. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked by Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam, mal ihsan, what is ihsan? He says, أَنْتَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ, that you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as though you are seeing Him. فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكُ, and if you cannot build that conviction that you are seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the second degree is, فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكُ, if you cannot build that conviction, then at least worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in such a way that you have the conviction that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all that level. So if you read the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you read the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with an open heart, my dear respected and other brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's kalam will come inside our heart and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's kalam will have an effect and will change our hearts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, لَوْ أَنزَلْنَا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَى جَبَلٍ لَرَأَيْتَهُ خَاشِعًا مُتَصَدِّعًا مِّنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ, that if we were to reveal this Quran on a mountain, that even the mountain will humble itself and it will scatter into bits out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my dear respected elders and brothers, that same Quran, if it was to come to our hearts and we were to open our hearts for the Quran, will that Quran not have an effect on our hearts? No. The reason is that we have closed our hearts. Our hearts have become too ghafil. Our hearts have become too engaged in the distractions of this world. If we clean our hearts and we open our hearts for the book of Allah, my dear respected elders and brothers, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have an effect on our heart. Hazrat Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu tabaraka wa ta'ala an, before he accepted Islam, he was the biggest enemy of Islam. He was one of the biggest enemies of Islam. Once he was walking and, you know, one person came to him and said, where are you going? He said, it's enough. I've had enough of this religion of Islam. I've had enough of this Muhammad. Let's go finish him off. Na'udhu billah, he was going to kill the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So whilst he was walking, he met a person, Hazrat Sa'id radiallahu ta'ala an, and Hazrat Sa'id said to him, wait, calm down. He said, why? He goes, forget Muhammad. Go look at your own house. Your sister and your brother-in-law have accepted Islam. So immediately he was raged and he was furious. So he changed his direction and he went to his sister's house. When he went inside his sister's house, his sister immediately hid behind the door. His brother-in-law was there and they were learning Quran by a teacher. So when Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala entered the house, he goes, is it true? He said, what? Have you become Muslim? So his brother-in-law replied, okay, calm down. If it is true, what are you going to do? Immediately Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he grabbed him and threw him away. Hazrat Umar's sister came out from the door to protect her husband, and Hazrat Umar, out of anger, he slapped his sister one as well. It is written in the books that he slapped her so hard that she started to bleed. When you slap someone, you don't bleed, but Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala slapped her so hard that she started to bleed. But even then, her sister didn't back down. What did she say? Subhanallah. She said, O Umar, I have drank milk from that same mother that you have drank milk from. Umar, you can take my life, but you cannot take my iman. Umar, you can take my life, but you cannot take my iman. When Hazrat Umar's sister said that, immediately Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, he calmed down and, you know, he came to control. He asked his sister that, you know, what was that book you were reading? What was those words? She does not know. First, you have to perform ghusl, you have to take a shower. He made Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an perform ghusl, take a shower, And then he took him to the company of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He went to the company of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited the ayat of Surah Taha. Taha ma anzalna alayka al-Qur'an litashqa illa tazkiratan liman yakhsha tanzeelan mimman khalaqa al-arda was-samawati al-ula ar-Rahmanu ala al-arshi istawa lahu ma fi as-samawati wa ma fi al-ardi wa ma baynahuma wa ma tahta al-thara. Until he reached, innani anallahu la ilaha illa ana fa'budni. Verily I am Allah, there is no God besides me, worship me, وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي, and establish salah for my remembrance. Immediately when he listened to those words, immediately he started to cry and he accepted Islam and he recited the kalima in front of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dear respected brothers and brothers, if this is the effect of the Holy Quran in a person whose heart there's no iman in, then alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with iman. We have iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us Muslim. If we open our hearts and we read the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with an open heart, we read it with respect, we read it in love, inshaAllah, inshaAllah, I promise you, the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have an effect on our hearts. Hazrat Maulana Ali Mir Nadwi rahmatullahi alayhi, he used to say that the Quran, if a person reads the Quran will speak to you. The Quran will speak to you. Every single person who recites the Quran, he recites the Quran with this meaning, that the Quran will give a different message to him. The Quran will speak to every individual person according to his own needs, according to his own necessities, according to his own problems. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all this attachment with the Holy Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to value the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the Quran a source of guidance for us. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Dur shaykhuni. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا مولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ونبينا مولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى لعدد ما تحب وترضى من القول والعمل، وجنبنا الفواحش والمعاصي والخطايا والزلل. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار، وقنا عذاب القبر، وقنا عذاب الحشر، وقنا عذاب الفقر، وقنا عذاب الدين. احشرنا يوم القيامة مع المتقين مع الأبرار. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكون من الخاسرين. اللهم إنك عفو رحيم كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا يا كريم، فاعف عنا يا كريم، فاعف عنا يا كريم. اللهم يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث، أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين، فإنك إن تكلنا إلى أنفسنا تكلنا إلى ضعف وعورة. اللهم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك، اللهم يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا إلى طاعتك. اللهم طهر قلوبنا من النفاق، اللهم طهر أعمالنا من الرياء، اللهم طهر ألسنتنا من الكذب وأعيننا من الخيانة، فإنك تعلم خائنة الأعين وما تخفي الصدور. هو الله forgive all our sins. هو الله forgive the sins of the entire ummah. O Allah, forgive our major sins. O Allah, forgive our minor sins. O Allah, forgive those sins which you committed in public. O Allah, forgive those sins which you committed in the darkness of our rooms. O Allah, grant us guidance. O Allah, guide the whole ummah. O Allah, protect us from the working of shaitan. O Allah, protect the entire humanity from the workings of shaitan. O Allah, grant us your happiness. O Allah, give us the ability to do those a'mal, to do those good deeds which make you happy. O Allah, give us the tawfiq to stay away from those deeds which make you angry. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, protect the youth from all bad habits. O Allah, protect the youth from all bad habits. Protect them from the streets. Protect them from drugs. O Allah, protect them from alcohol. Protect them from the clubs. O Allah, protect them. O Allah, grant them attachment to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. O Allah, grant them the love of the Qur'an. Give them the ability to connect themselves with the Qur'an, to connect themselves with the people of Allah, to connect themselves with the pious people, to connect themselves to your friends. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, accept our fasting in Ramadan, accept our taraweeh, accept our du'as, accept our tilawah. O Allah, accept all our worship. O Allah, accept our du'as. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك وعبدك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك وعبدك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله.